Good morning. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is Pan Am Community Radio, and it is Friday, June 20th. It's time for North Idaho News of the Week. I'm Jack Peterson, and I'm joined today by a returning co-host who's here now that summer is upon us. Will Love returns to the studio. Good morning, Will.
Good morning, Jack. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well.
Hey, happy summer solstice.
It is.
Yes.
And so it is.
Yep. And you can already feel that chill in the air. Fall is just right around the corner.
It does seem like fall's coming now. A little chillier today, some clouds in the sky, but...
some much-needed rain, it looks like.
Yeah, it looks like a nice change of pace. I think that our drought is just about over. Forecast currently calls for rain this weekend. I think it's at 100% chance tomorrow, at least. We're also here with the sports editor for the Bonner County Daily Bee. Max Oswald is here in the room. Good morning, Max.
Morning.
We'll talk a little bit about sports today after a quick rundown of the headlines. Were you going to say something, Will? No, just stretching your hand. I thought you were about to raise your hand. But
it's kind of like my students in class, and I'm looking for like any sign that they might be willing to share an answer or discuss something. And then, I'm very disappointed when they're just like, no.
Let's see here. Okay, I'm gonna start with the headline. The No Kings rally on June 14th. This was, of course, a nationwide event. I think Boise saw. Let's see here. I think Boise saw about 1,300 or 13,000 attendees, but here we had more than 1,000 protesters out on this last Saturday for the so-called No Kings rally. But it was a peaceful protest. There were some counter protesters, but nothing. No violence, no injuries or anything like that. A peaceful protest and rally on Saturday here in Sandpoint, at least, happened to coincide with the big bike race. Chafe 150 was happening at the same time, and Art Walk the night before. So it was a busy weekend, but no nothing dangerous reported after the fact. On the state level, a board chaired by Idaho Governor Brad Little, approved unanimously a $300,000 request on Tuesday to pay for Idaho State Police to transport people who have been convicted of a crime and do not have legal authorization to be in the United States to U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, that's ICE, detention centers for deportation. This is the Idaho State Board of Examiners who approved the request, as I said, unanimously without any discussion during a meeting on Tuesday at the state capitol. The funding, which is not to exceed $300,000, will come from the governor's emergency fund, which will be used to reimburse Idaho State Police personnel for providing transportation to U.S. Customs, Immigration and Customs Enforcement detention centers. On the county level, here in Bonner County, the Bonner County Board of Commissioners has asked the cities of Sandpoint, Dover, Kootenai, and East Hope to redraw their area of impact maps, which had been submitted to Bonner County for their final approval. The rest of the cities, the rest of municipalities in the county passed the exam, so to speak, but these others said the other cities more work required, I guess. So back to the cities for some changes. The one that we'd been, I think, watching most closely was kind of the conflict between Sandpoint and Dover, where they were both claiming a small part of currently unincorporated community as possibly part of their area of impact. And the Board of Commissioners, this is that sliver. It's along the lake in between Sandpoint, currently in between Sandpoint and Dover, and in neither community near the slough over there. And the county said, take it out of both, basically. It will not go into either area of impact, and that'll be the change for Sandpoint and Dover.
Yeah, it's always so interesting explaining Sandpoint to people and all the little burbs that are around it, you know, and now, obviously, with all this growth, cities see the ability to raise some money right off this, and so, yeah, little elbowing and jockeying for...
They're kind of both apparently had their eye on it. Both cities kind of had their eye on this little sliver there, but won't go into either area of impact right now. And that area of impact, of course, does not mean that they would immediately or possibly ever actually be absorbed into the city. It's the area that the city considers possible that would one day be annexed and incorporated into the city limits. Let's see, here in the city, we mentioned last week, but I was just listening to a fascinating podcast on the KRFY website, krfy.org, from Wednesday, when both the Public Works Director and the Mayor of the City of Sandpoint were here in the studio talking about what's going on. You would know, especially if you live out that way, you would certainly be aware that currently North Boyer Road is closed just north of the fairgrounds, where a culvert failed. And working in cooperation with Bonner County, the city is currently seeking bids and materials for the failed culvert that has closed that road. The road is estimated, from what I heard, to be closed for at least a month, and if not more. It's possible that it could take many months to actually acquire a culvert that will fit that site if there aren't any available right now to just come off the shelf somewhere. So that road is closed, and that rather significant detour is going to continue affecting the people who live out that way and those who are trying to get up to Schweitzer, things like that.
Yeah, obviously an important artery here in Sandpoint. And then, you know, I remember as a little kid fishing at that culvert.
Oh, yeah.
And it's quite big. And so, understanding like the size of it. Yeah, I'm guessing that can't just go to North 40 and find one.
Right. Yeah, it can't just exactly. In other city business, they did have a rather busy agenda for city council planned for Wednesday. We anticipated a pretty big meeting for Wednesday night, but before the meeting, it was actually canceled due to a lack of quorum. But among the other things that the city is kind of considering right now and will be addressing at future city council meeting or meetings, a proposal by the mayor to redirect revenue from the parks into the general fund, as opposed to being dedicated to the parks improvement fund, which it currently is. That's fees from rentals and other usage fees at the various parks in town would be diverted back into the general fund, as opposed to be going into a dedicated fund. A new paid parking proposal from Planning and Community Development head Jason Welker is anticipated. And they are also going to be discussing the wastewater treatment plant. This is really the headline, I think, of the city business. They've finished a preliminary engineering report for the Department of Environmental Quality. The city will be seeking $130 million to... pay for a new facility or to repair the existing facility. And they have announced that they anticipate that they'll be seeking a bond in the fall. It may not be for the full amount. There are other possible funding sources available, but the total amount is $130 million. And at least some of that is expected to have to come from a bond. So we'll be following that and look for that on most likely on the ballots.
Yeah, I'm thinking back to times when Zach Hagedon's been on specifically to talk about his reporting on that. And, when you say $130 million, based off of the description that Zach gave on kind of how they how things are having to run there. You can understand that price tag.
Yeah, it's pretty significant facility, doing a lot of work, and it's been, parts of it have been in operation since, what, I think the 50s, right? And some of the material there actually dates like earlier than that, was reclaimed, I think, from Farragut, which was in operation during World War II.
Yeah. Like a lot of the infrastructure around here, it's so old that there's no way to replace it.
Okay. That's the headlines from the city of Sandpoint. And as I said, there was no meeting, but boy, it would have been an exciting one had it happened. look for, more news to come on that, when, quorum is restored at city council. And I will say that it's worth listening to that podcast. The whole show is pretty enlightening. The Wednesday edition of the KRFI Morning Show, and you can find it on our website and also on wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify and Apple and all those other places. Turning over to the city of Ponderay, there was an event on June 18th where the Ponderay Aquatic Center was proposed at, that will be out at the Field of Dreams facility. So possible changes, and that falls a little bit into sporting news, which I think we'll spend most of this show talking about. I forget now, but Will, I think right before we went on the air, you mentioned something from the education news side, which is appropriate.
Yeah.
You do wear another hat in this town, and you're a teacher.
Exactly. Yeah. Educator. So I keep track of this, but then also my work on here is that, West Bonner County School District was, one of our favorite subjects there for a long time.
Yeah.
And, anyway, they had a meeting, and it was actually, free of drama, which is probably the news in itself, that, because of the, $4.7 million two-year levy that voters approved with 60%. They're able to put together a budget. And so there wasn't kind of the cuts that were going to need to happen if that wasn't approved. Now, there was still some things that they are looking at. And so one of the things is that they're a little bit behind on their financial audits. So technically, the state could withhold some funding, but I think based off of everybody's recognition of what has happened over the last few years and the number of financial heads that they've had, that there might be a little bit of grace there. But the other thing that was besides the that they also talked about the need to look at the funding for food for the students, and so lunches and stuff like that, that right now it's not sustainable. And so I think the recommendation from the district's finance person is that this is something that we need to work on this summer. So do you know any more on that?
All I know is that they also debated on changing the mascot, since now it is a newly combined junior senior high school. The junior high used to be the Warriors, and then the high school was the Spartans, and now they're considering changing everything to the Spartans, which I think kind of makes sense. But you only have to buy one sweatshirt, someone said. So I thought that was a good point.
That makes sense.
Well, as Jack and I were kind of talking about when he mentioned that, is that obviously, you know, if you're looking for a way to help alleviate some funding, it's like that would be a easy, like, okay, we're going to pass these 12-year-old basketball jerseys down to the junior high kids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, okay. Now, conversely, point counterpoint, this also, maybe they should have a different mascot for every grade. And then you encourage more merchandise purchases. That's a new funding source, maybe.
That seems to be the way things are going. Everything.
Sell a lot more sweatshirts if you got to get a new one every year.
Exactly.
Another little education news note. Here in this side of Bonner County, the Lake Ponderay School District, the on a gathering at June 9th, the ground was broken at the new Career Technical Education Center at the high school.
Yeah.
Out behind your building.
Yeah. So a lot of excitement there. Dr. Becky Meyer has been working mm-hmm. since she became the superintendent to gather some funding for tech education building. And mm-hmm. so it's going to be a nice addition to the high school and probably service about three or four programs, including an automotive program that mm-hmm. they're going to start at the high school soon. And then also, I believe our residential carpentry program, which was resurrected a couple of years ago, will be moved mm-hmm. out there, and then a couple of other programs. So it's when we look at kind of the direction of the school, the high school, at specifically Sandpoint High School, it's been a lot of focus on the career and technical education programs, which full disclosure, my program as a journalism teacher, that falls under that CTE program. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, we're just trying to, or at least the district, the administration is trying to provide more and more of those opportunities. I know that one of the things that we're going to be incorporating next year is an athletics health program. So just kind of athletics medicine. And so we've got a awesome person that works on all the injuries and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. so she's going to start teaching classes with the idea that we'll have student trainers that can go out and tape ankles and stuff like that. And so that's mm-hmm. a new program that's coming. And then also they're resurrecting the forestry program too. So it's going to have mm-hmm. A class next year that they had the forestry, a forestry class, but it wasn't falling under the career and technical education. So, so we're adding that. And essentially what that means is that our programs receive additional funding from the state, CTE. Mm-hmm. If you didn't know, there's actually kind of two entities when it comes to education, public education in Idaho. There's the the Department of Education, which everybody's familiar with, but there's also separate from that is the Career and Technical Education mm-hmm. program. And so kind of strange that there's these two separate entities, but through CTE mm-hmm. We receive quite a bit of money from the federal government for vocational and technical programs.
Well, there you have it. Some education news, and should we turn to the sports page? Is it time?
Let's do that.
Okay,
it's been a while.
Yeah,
it has.
Let's see. Starting off, something new and different in on the sports page is this trap shooting event. Can you tell us a little bit about that? That's yeah. not something you've reported on before, I don't think.
It's yeah. not yeah. widely, not like mm-hmm. a. Did I believe this past Wednesday? It mm-hmm. was on the state championship, which was held this past Saturday in Kuna at the Boise Gun Club. So they have the Idaho Clay Target League, and Clark Fork and Valor Christian actually compete in that. It's about 20-30 schools that are actually involved in that now, and it's mm-hmm. all classifications, of course. So you got Clark Fork competing against like Skyline. So it can be a pretty
big schools,
diverse
small
in that
schools,
nature.
In other
yeah.
words, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, there's also there's trap shooting, and there's five stand mm-hmm. and skeet. And, those I had to learn when I'm reporting that those are not actually the same thing. So,
I don't know if I could tell you the difference.
So, there was three students from Valor Christian that actually swept the novice division of the five-stand event. So I believe James Harlicker got third, Tanner Thompson was second, and Ryder Raposa was first. And what I was able to research about five-stand is that there's five different stands, essentially, where the clay pigeons will come out of, and then you have your teammates that will actually help you during this and call them out for you to shoot at. It's a little harder than trap, which only has one area where they come out. and there's rounds of 25.
So you don't know which one it's going to come from.
Yeah, you don't know which one, so it's a bit more difficult. So you need to have it's more of like a team effort to get that done. So, and that's for Valor Christian. This is their first year at the program. It's Clark Fork's second.
Is this Valor Christian's first athletic program?
First athletic year. They also had volleyball.
Okay.
And their volleyball team will actually be facing Clark Fork's varsity this upcoming year. So that's pretty cool. And I'm hoping to have some of their volleyball, trap shooting, maybe some other sports in the future in the Daily B. You know, to go off some more results from the event itself, though, Clark Fork did get 10th as a team out of 17 teams, which is pretty impressive. And it's not just high schoolers competing in that. That's like ranging from 7th to 12th grade. And a lot of the athletes, besides one senior girl on Clark Fork, who's really good, Rebecca Hallman, they have mostly 8th graders and 9th graders. So they're all really good. I mean, the one kid, Curtis Sommerfeld, he shot an 88 out of 100 for trap shooting. And that's, you know, that's really good. Okay. It's been fun to report on, like, really. You know, learning about that stuff is really cool. I used to have I used to live actually by a range. So we'd go back in the woods and I'd find all these clay pigeons and stuff. I never knew how it worked though, but.
Which one's skeet and which one's trap?
Honestly, I'm not sure because we didn't have any athletes compete in the skeet competition, so I haven't looked at it as much. Definitely not well-versed, but, you know, being a one-man show at a small-town paper, it's actually fun being able to learn, having to learn about these different things. You're kind of forced to do it. So. Yeah.
Let's see. Well, in other sporting news, what should we talk about? It's baseball season.
Yeah. You know, we do have a Legion team this year. No varsity Legion team is what you'd really call it, which is 19U. But we do have a 16U team. They just played on Wednesday, and they've been doing pretty good playing in the Spokane American Legion League. And most of those kids will be freshmen next year at the high school, a couple of sophomores. It's actually a couple of players from Clark Fork, too, and a Bonner's Ferry kid on the team, so... It's been fun to cover them. I think they're 4-5 right now. And they just split with Lakeside, split with Cheney. They swept Cheney earlier this year. So, and I've been also following, you know, the Sandpoint Sasquatch travel teams. They have 17U, 16U, and that's what a lot of the current high school players play on. And they're always going all over the place. I know 17U will be in Centralia this weekend. I think the 16U is going to be at the Big Bucks tourney in Libby. So, it's not often they are home here in Sandpoint in the summer, but the 17U was home this past week, and that's what most of the rising juniors and seniors are on. And the Owyhee Wave actually came up from Meridian to play Sandpoint for a four-game series in travel ball, so it's fun to go over there and get some photos of that. Always seems to be a lot of stuff happening, and... you know, as well, we have travel softball, too. I have an 18U team, and a lot of graduating seniors this past year play on that team. Anyone ranging from, you know, rising sophomores to athletes that graduated this year are on that team. And it's interesting to actually cover them because they have players from all over the region that come and compete for this team in Sandpoint. Got girls from Lincoln County High School, Troy High School, Thompson Falls, Bonner's Ferry. We had a girl from Laurel, Montana, actually playing on the team this summer. So it's interesting to have some different names in the paper in the summer, maybe some different athlete of the weeks, but summer's a bit more quiet. And I guess, you know, I look forward to that sometimes, but already thinking about the fall sports preview coming up here, just in about a month, I'll probably start getting things rolling on that.
Wow. Here's a interesting headline. Parker Bowen hit.
That's
quite a feat.
Yeah, he plays for the Sandpoint Sasquatch 11U baseball team.
Meaning he's 11 years old.
Yeah.
Or younger than that.
11 or 10. I always love putting these little standalone photos in the B. He had hit a grand slam over the fence, kind of a big deal for that age.
Wow. For an 11-year-old, I would think so. Yeah.
And got some video footage of it.
Cool.
And it was just a rocket. It was just crazy. Right in the bottom of the zone, huge cut. And just, I love putting that stuff in there. Any grand slams or any big wins of any age, it's always fun to see that stuff in a hometown paper.
That would have been cool to see. That was at Traverse Park?
Yeah, it was at Traverse Park.
Yeah, neat. Okay.
I have a fun story coming up that I'm planning on publishing tomorrow that I'll...
What's the preview?
So there's actually a man named Eduardo, who is now a Sandpoint resident as of 2023. He's a coach and teacher at North Idaho Jiu-Jitsu. He has a storied career in Jiu-Jitsu. He's from the Amazon area of Brazil originally. And he now lives here permanently with his family. He is the 2025 North American champion of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Really?
That just happened in Long Beach a little bit ago, maybe a couple weeks, and finally got to do a huge feature story on him. He had took like a 2-year hiatus and everything from professional competition. I mean, he's competed all over in Rio and Abu Dhabi, and it's just really cool to interview him and talk about his career because he's been doing it since he was 13. Tells me he's doing it since he was 13. He actually doesn't speak that well of English, so he's fluent in Portuguese. So we actually did the interview with a translator, and it was actually a really cool experience. More to come on that for sure. His drive and passion for it's pretty cool, and to have someone like that here in Sandpoint now is pretty unique.
That's pretty neat.
For sure. What's can you kind of explain some of the rules of jiu-jitsu? Like what does that look like versus boxing or wrestling?
That's on my today's agenda. But no, I've actually done it a little bit myself for like a 3-month
I'm gonna step back a little bit. I'm not gonna mess with Max.
So it has to do with a lot of pulling and there's a lot of technicalities, so it's really not like boxing or wrestling at all. And it's very technical, lots of trips and arm bars, and the way you get people into submission is very technical in nature. And that's something we talked about. As much as it's a physical thing, like it's, if you don't have someone could be, three, four times as strong as you, but if the technical side, if it's not there, like the other guy's going to whoop you, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, I remember some Olympics, right? Like every 4 years, and you watch them and they stand up and then they're just kind of grabbing each other.
Essentially. Yeah. That's what it looks like.
And then trying to get into a takedown, right?
Yeah. And I haven't done too much reporting on jiu-jitsu or karate stuff like that. So super interesting that I was tipped off about it and was able to make it happen. And I know along with that, I also working on another feature story where the 2025, I don't know if it's international or national champion in weightlifting division is also here in Sandpoint, Chuy Fregoso, for the second time. He won it in 2023. Now he won it again in 2025. So putting that together as well. So weightlifting, jiu-jitsu, able to do that stuff in the summer. Some cool feature stories.
Cool. Do you cover golf? The Sandpoint Elks golf standings. I see they're on they're on week 6. Is this something that they just send over to you and it gets published? Or?
Yeah, those are just scores that I usually put in.
But do they have a running summer long like team?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
So that'll last till like early September, somewhere around there.
You have a foursome and every week you have to play a round of golf or something? I don't know. Okay.
I honestly, it's kind of like the bowling scores for me is I kind of just have them and I want to make sure they're in there.
Right. And correct. Yeah.
As for golf itself, there has been a lot of golf happenings. Actually, last time Since the last time I was on the show, Jeff Gove, director of instruction at the Idaho Club, had competed in the senior PGA championship. And I know after day one, he was looking really good. I think he was tied for seventh out of hundreds. I mean, there's hundreds of international players in this and super competitive. I know he had a five over, though, in the second round. And I honestly hadn't looked at the final standing since that, but seemed to be that he had a really fun time at the senior PGA championship. And it's cool to talk to people like that in the community. And he's very involved at the Idaho Club. And I know he helps out on a lot of stuff over there.
Yeah.
Just saw his son in town yesterday. His son actually caddied for him at the senior PGA championship.
That's cool.
Yeah. And it was just kind of interesting to, because I know the family and didn't realize like his past. Like he's got a pretty storied career as a professional, like actual, like competing professional.
Oh yeah, if you look at his lifetime earnings too, it's like this guy was legit. You know, he was winning some purses at some big tournaments. And, you know, he's, I think it was called the Corn Fairies. He's been on the Corn Fairies. He's been on the, I believe he was actually on the PGA Tour for a small number of years, but I believe he's originally from Greater Seattle area. Went to Pepperdine, and he's been in Sandpoint here for a while now. So, really, I really like covering and hearing about that stuff. It's pretty fun.
Yeah,
we talk about some college athletes too right now. Even
sure, yeah. What do we got?
I know last night that check here on my phone quick, but Austin Dillon, he graduated from Sandpoint in 2023. Plays for Yakima Valley College. He competes in the West Coast League, which is a collegiate summer baseball league. And he plays for the Springfield Drifters in Oregon. And he just got the win last night. Two innings pitched, three strikeouts. I believe it was a 4-3 win over the Corvallis Knights. You know, a lot of players who play in that league end up going on to do, you know, some pretty big things. And you're playing against, you know, they say it's Division I through junior colleges that play in this league, but it's a lot of Division I players. So even on the roster alone, I think on Springfield itself, I mean, there's players from USC, UC Davis, Oregon State. So for a kid from Sandpoint, kid playing for Yakima Valley College to be really competitive in this league is pretty impressive. And I've had fun following him and, of course, all the other college athletes this past spring.
Cool.
I've got one more thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard this yet, but Carly Banks, one of my former players, went on to Utah State. I was texting her about she transferred and was in the portal, and I was asking her the other day about how things were going, and she said that she is committed to West Florida University.
Sweet.
And yeah. So she'll be an Argonaut moving forward. And I think based on the website, this place is right next to the beach, so I can kind of understand.
Makes sense, yeah.
Understand why Carly might have decided to go there.
With West Florida Division II program?
Yes, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, great news.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to her.
Yeah.
All right.
Add in that, and then rising senior Jetta Tate, part of the girls' basketball team, is actually competing this track and field at Nike Nationals in Eugene, Oregon this Saturday, and she's ranked 18th. Believe out of a 37-38 person field in the javelin. She won the state championship in 5A, actually had the best throw in the state of Idaho, 138 feet 10 inches. But if you're top eight at Nike Nationals, you receive All-American status. Difference between 18th and 8th is only about 5 feet, so very, so very possible to attain.
Yeah, that's interesting. Very cool. Exciting times. Before we move on to our next order of business, which actually is a little bit of music, and then I'm talking to Rob Talbot, recorded a short conversation yesterday about the summer music series that is indeed kicking off a week from yesterday. Any news on the boys basketball front? Anything to report, Coach Love?
Yeah, so we've had a good summer so far. Next week we have our youth camp, so kids from third through eighth grade. We would love to have you down. It's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And so it starts at 9 for third through fifth, and then six through eight is 11 to one. So if you're interested in that, send your kids on down. And then we've had a pretty successful summer so far. Mm-hmm. We are 7-2 in our two tournaments that we've played in so far. And mm-hmm. then we cool. just finished up a clinic that we did with Lake City High School. Mm-hmm. And so we had a coach come in from Tribeca Nazarene University in Nashville. Very, very well-known coach among coaches. And mm-hmm. He came and worked with both of our programs the same time on Tuesday and Wednesday. And that was a lot of fun. And so mm-hmm. we're going to be finishing up kind of our playing schedule next week. We go to taking the varsity team to Washington State University for a team camp. But cool. Busy summer. And so, yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Cool. Yeah. You are the incoming and head coach of the Sandpoint boys basketball team.
Correct.
After many years as the head coach of the girls basketball team.
Yes.
At that same institution.
And they're having a great summer season as well. So cool. Maddie Schoening, the new new coach there, she's mm-hmm. Doing a tremendous job. And I know that they're heading to a team camp at the University of Montana this weekend where Maddie played basketball for the mm-hmm. Grizz.
Give me once more of those details in case somebody's listening who's interested in going to one of these camps.
Yeah.
It's still open.
Yes. The girls camp actually happened this last week, but mm-hmm. The boys, and so basically grades third through fifth, we have from 9 to 11 at Sandpoint High School. Cost is $50. If there's a sibling, then it comes down to $40 each mm-hmm. For them. And then for the older boys, so sixth through eighth grade, they'll mm-hmm. be from 11 to 1. And that's also at Sandpoint High School, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday next week.
Cool. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for sports here for this week. Thank you very much, Will and Max. For
coming. Absolutely.
This was fun. As ever, what moves can the Minnesota Timberwolves make in the offseason to come back next year and make the finals, do you think? Any tips? I'll take my answer off.
Okay, all right, sounds good. All right, but good. There is a game seven on Sunday.
How do you feel about that? What's going to happen?
I'm a big Pacers fan for two reasons. One, the style that the Pacers play, I appreciate. And then two, as a native of the Northwest, mm-hmm. I'm still mad about the Sonics leaving to go to Oklahoma City. So I just cannot get behind that. Bring back the Sonics.
Yeah. I sympathize with that. Even, and the Oklahoma City defeated my beloved Timberwolves.
They did.
Yeah, and I am rooting for them to fail. I actually thought they were going to go have a much easier time. I thought they were a shoe-in, but here we come, Game 7.
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. Max, your thoughts?
No, I'm just hoping for a buzzer beater or something, really.
Okay, that's going to do it for North Idaho News of the Week. And we're talking now with Rob Talbot after a little music from a band called The Dead and Down, who are playing next Thursday at Farm and Park.